Production support for Soundbites is made possible by listeners and by Coffee by Design, growing a business committed to community and sustainability locally and worldwide. CoffeeByDesign.com.
Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing, and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Wanted. Here's today's host, Connecticut-based novelist, storyteller, columnist, playwright, and teacher, Matthew Dix.
How about an enormous round of applause for our next storyteller, Atim Chenzira, ladies and gentlemen.
I was tapped to be a director of a new program in San Francisco in 2015. Essentially, I was a co-founder of a startup. I know what you're thinking, startup, San Francisco, must be a tech company. Not at all. In fact, it was a collaborative court, kind of like mental health or drug court or veterans court, but this was for young adults, 18 to 25. I mean, I found myself working 50 plus hours a week. There wasn't a program that existed in California, in the United States, and as far as I knew, nowhere else in the world, and this had to exist. So I had to throw my all at it. I mean, I'm working on weekends, I'm talking to grandparents, I'm talking to aunties and uncles, guardians, parents who are suffering from addiction, I'm talking to other community providers. I'm trying to find out what the best way is to get these young folks to access a program that can take them out the cycle to prison and a felony barrier and give them an opportunity to use the right tools to get back on track. I mean, this is hard because they're not adults and they're not kids, but they're kind of forgotten and thrown away. So anyway, it was stressful. And my wife, she was expanding a Waldorf kindergarten school in Berkeley. She had a half-time assistant, 21 students, and their parents. We were both kind of burnt out. You know, when I get stressed out, I need a light at the end of the tunnel to look forward to. I mean, if it's just a small trip up the coast to Stinson Beach, it might take 3 hours to get there, and it's not that far away. Or up to the Redwoods to a campsite to hang out, or hell, maybe inland to Yosemite, where we have a cousin who is a ranger at Hetch Hetchy. Or, you know, it can also look like getting out of state. I mean, we'd come to Vinyl Haven, Maine for a summer vacation 2 weeks at a time, and it just kind of wipes off the stress. Or even better, a trip out the country. Now, that's an adventure. So we weren't going out of the town anytime soon. Definitely wasn't leaving the state or the country. So a small indulgence, you know, has to do. I mean, we're both busy. We can't really leave right now. So, hey, maybe a pair of shoes, maybe even a jacket. But you know what? My favorite thing is this store in Oakland called the Hat Guys. So, better yet, a hat. So I figured that'd be a good enough light to look forward to, right? So I find myself one day on a train coming back from San Francisco, leaving the courthouse. I mean, I sat with judges, district attorneys, public defenders. I was nervous going to work. And I said, okay, well, let me get this light started. I get off at 19th Street in downtown Oakland, and I'm headed to the Hat Guys. Now, the Hat Guys, they put hats on famous and infamous heads, like Too Short, a rapper from Oakland, or Ron Dellums, congressman, rest in peace, two-time mayor of Oakland, and a Black Panther. I might be getting that just a little wrong, but I'm pretty sure if he wasn't a Panther, he was a Panther ally. In the hat guys, they had these multicolored big hats with lace for church-going African-American women. Or those hats that look like they belong on the heads of gangsters from the 1920s. Bump you full of lead. Or, you know, hats that are kind of simple but fly, you know, guys like myself could wear. I mean, they had hats for everybody. So I get off, I'm just trying to imagine what kind of light I'm going to look forward to, right? I get in the hat guy's store, and immediately I see this hat on a shelf that just calls my name. I'm in love, right? I mean, not as in love as I am with my wife, but the next best thing is something that I can look good in. So, I mean, this hat was beautiful. It was gray wool. You turn the hat over, and it had this nylon-looking brown, shiny fabric on the inside. The sweatband was leather. It had these black and red stripes that crisscrossed and made diamonds. And I asked to put it on. I put it on, and it fit perfectly. I'm in love. I needed this hat, right? But then something like my wife's voice said in the back of my head, you don't need that. You want it. So I said, okay, well, I can't justify buying a $200 hat right now. So I said, I'm going to go the old school route, right? I need a light at the end of the tunnel, right? This tunnel's got to be a little longer than the bar tracks. So I said, okay, I'm going to go the old school route. I'm going to put $40 down and put this hat on a layaway. So I said, cool, I can justify that. She'll see that I'm frugal. She'll see that I have long-term goals, kind of like what I'm trying to do with these youngsters. I'm practicing self-control. My prefrontal cortex is intact, right? So cool. I mean, I figured, you know, this is cool. I can do this. I found myself getting off the bar train once a week. And I only got paid every 2 weeks, but I was off that train once a week just to take that light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Put it on my head. Finally, I pay my last little $40. I got that hat. I'm feeling like a winner. My grin is high. I can't wait to get home. My wife is going to notice my million-dollar smile in this new style. I get in the house. She doesn't notice my smile or my new style. In fact, she was on the phone with her 93-year-old grandfather who was on his deathbed. And he was probably having the last, most lucid conversation of his life. Well, I mean, he lived a long life. He was a World War II veteran, a naval officer, an engineer on a submarine. Now, every time those cats left port, it was a 50-50 chance that they'd come back. So 93 is a damn good life for a submariner, wouldn't you say? No, he crisscrossed the United States port to port, bringing his family here and there, and he and his wife traveled on their leisure to about 60 different countries. And I remember her asking him question after question after question after question. But you know what? The one that I remember the most was, she said, Grandpa, can you name three places in the world that I need to visit before I die? And he was on speakerphone, so I didn't say anything, but it was just amazing to hear his voice. He says, the Great Pyramids of Giza in Egypt. You should take note. The Taj Mahal in India. Anywhere in Italy. And then he threw one more in. He says, and I wished I had visited Vietnam. And she said, Grandpa, I promise you that on your honor and in your name, I will visit Vietnam. Well, a week later, he passed away. So not only did I have my new style and fly hat, but we found ourselves buying two round-trip tickets to Vietnam. About a month later, we were in SFO, San Francisco International's airport, rushing. I mean, we were late. We got off the bar train, and my wife, she likes to think she's on time, but, you know, if I don't drag her, we're not gonna make it. So we get to this line, and, you know, you almost gotta get butt naked to get into the security. At San Francisco Airport, I mean, you got to take your shoes off, you got to take your coat off, you got to take your backpack off, and anything larger than a cell phone got to be put in a tray. Hell, even my hat. So I put the hat in the tray. I put everything away, and we're rushing. We're running. We get to the South China Airlines and board this Airbus 380. Now, the Airbus 380 is the largest plane for passengers in the world, only rivaled by the Boeing 747. So we get on this big thing. I'm excited. And we walk to the back. So far back, my chair don't even recline. Now, there's one thing that my wife loves more than me, and that's a bargain. Cuba, we're going to Vietnam, right? So the chair is like already about an inch from my knees, and I know this is going to be a long trip. I mean, 14 hours long just to get to Gung Jiao, and then there's a two-hour trip from there to Vietnam. So anyway, whatever. We get to Gung Jiao. We land on a tarmac. There's shuttles out there that take us all to customs. It's a zig and a zag, and everybody's talking Cantonese, Mandarin, and some other stuff that I don't even know. We get through customs, 30, 45 minutes. We rush through the line. We get to go get us some food. And I can't even pay for the food because I left my wallet on the plane. I'm freaking out. Lucky that plane is so damn big, it had to regas 14 hours. It's not gonna just take right off, right? So we found somebody who talked English. They got us our wallet. We got on a plane to Vietnam and we're flying. We just take 2 hours, we're flying over Hanoi. And as I look out the window, I mean, it's like the city looks flooded. The landscape is lush and green, but this is intentional. Generation after generation after generation of carving these little canals for like rice paddies, hillsides. I mean, I thought maybe they put the house in the wrong place. I mean, they didn't see any land. It's just water everywhere. Anyway, we land, we get off, we get into our cab, and we go through motorcyclists, scooters, bicyclists, and pedestrians, and people being running around on those carts, right? I mean, it was amazing. I'm like, how do these people walk through this stuff without getting hit? Well, we get to our little boutique hotel. It's amazing. We're met with smiles and hospitality. And it was only $35 a night for something that might cost like $500 to like $700 out here. I was amazed. I'm like, we were winning out here. We had a great time, right? We get up to the room. We unpack. We're unpacking and unpacking and unpacking. And I'm like, where the hell is my hat? Babe, you got my hat? It's not in my bag. It's not in her bag. Well, I must have left it at San Francisco. I don't even remember putting it on my head or packing it away. I said, okay, forget about it. We came here to have a good time. We came here to have less stress. I'm already feeling it fall off. I'm gonna forget about that hat. Hell, when I get back to San Francisco, I'll go to Lost and Found and we'll figure it out. And if they ain't got it, I'm gonna make my way back to the hat guys and we'll figure it out. Put myself for another layaway on. So I'm good. We go up to Sapa, we have a great time, we see some black tie and red zhao and all that. We're just having a good time where, you know, stress is falling off like rain. Okay, I'm gonna just jump to hopping back on that plane. We forgot everything we left behind. I mean, we even forgot she was a teacher. I forgot I worked for the court. We land in San Francisco. I say, okay, let me find this Lost and Found. So I go to Lost and Found, and they say, well, here's a number you can call, and here's an email you can send an email to. We don't have an actual physical Lost and Found. You have to contact somebody first. Not a problem. I contact the Lost and Found. I send them a picture of my hat, me wearing the hat. Nope. They don't know what the hat, where it's at. They don't have any record of it. A week goes by and I say, okay, well, I'm gonna move to plan B. I'll go and get myself another layaway. I mean, we forgot what we even went to Vietnam for. I mean, we had a great time honoring her grandfather. We had a great time losing all that stress And here it is, we're in San Francisco, just like new people. So I say, okay, I'm getting off the BART train at 19th Street. I'm climbing this escalator. I got a grinner like a winner. I get off onto the street, and there goes the hat guys. But on the sign of the door, it says, gone out of business. I mean, that place started in 1988. You know, I'll be damned. What I wanted was that hat. But what I needed was a new experience and less stress. And I gotta tell you, another day, another hat.
Team Gen Zero, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you about the team. Team is a musician, a songwriter. Settle in. He's a band leader, he's a spoken word poet, he's a community organizer, he's an activist, and he's a family therapist. Born in Oakland, California, actually, we were talking earlier, born in Oakland, California, moved to Maine when his wife asked him to move here. Born in Oakland, California, he began writing songs at the age of 12. I was like scratching sticks and dirt at that time. Started performing at 14. He is the founder of 1,000 Words, a nonprofit organization encouraging local San Francisco Bay Area communities to network, grow, heal, and strengthen the world through the cross-pollination of culinary, musical, and visual arts and artists using creative activism. Through ATW, a team organizes artists and musicians to share their talents and fundraise for special causes like Hurricane Katrina in 2005, the Haitian disaster in 2010, Chile in 2011, and to educate local communities on earthquake preparedness, something I know that all Mainers are thinking about at all times. How about one more enormous round of applause for Atim Chenzira, ladies and gentlemen.
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, well, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage, now in conversation with today's teller.
All right, so I'm here with Atim Chenzira. I said that right? So I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Can you talk to me about what your connection is to Maine?
Well, my connection to Maine is Vinyl Haven. My wife was a summer girl. Her and her sister were raised up on the summer months there, and I've summered here maybe 5 times with her, and she got me, after 4 years of working on me, to move from Oakland, California, to grow roots here in Portland, Maine.
You came from Oakland to Maine?
I sure did.
Wow, you must really love that woman to come from California to northern New England.
Well, I really hope she hears you say that, because that is the absolute truth.
That's great. All right, so what got you into storytelling? What brings you here tonight?
Well, I've done spoken word, and I do hip-hop, and I'm a singer, a band leader, those kinds of things. So I find myself telling stories in different ways, and I wanted to stretch a little bit, and when Donna invited me, I said yes.
All right, that's wonderful. How did you prepare to be on stage tonight? What was the process for getting that story ready?
Well, I wrote out my story. At first, I had to think long and hard about what I wanted. And I performed it in front of some colleagues at Portland Ovations, and they gave me their feedback. And then one of my mentors, Linda Nelson, she gave me the final feedback, and Donna helped me cut it down to where it needed to be.
All right, so you got a lot of people helping you out through that process.
I did. I mean, I figured if I couldn't tell it in front of my colleagues and friends, then I probably couldn't tell it here.
All right. And the last question is, can you tell us about something in the story that you had to leave on the cutting room floor, like a nugget that we can hear about maybe later on?
Yeah, sure. It was something that I think distracted from the story. It was a time when I got on the Airbus 380 for China Southern Airlines, and a stewardess in the economy class took me up to business class to help me relax and get some leg room. And the first class and business class stewardess sent me right back. And the two sets of stewardesses went to battle and ended up upgrading both my wife and I for the rest of the flight in business class.
Ah, very nice. Was that your first experience in business class?
Yes. I would like to say no, but yes, it was my first experience in business class, and it was great.
That's great. I know that the first time I got upgraded to business or first class, I ended up regretting it because I realized I would have to go back the next time, and I knew what I was missing now, so it was terrible every time after that.
Well, that's fine. It's something to work towards if I ever have the money to do it again.
All right, great. Thanks.
Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to GWI and Downey's Pension Services. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, can be found online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org. Thanks for listening.